بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم tonight we discuss inshallah the Jabir رضي الله تعالى عنه Jabir bin Abdullah رضي الله تعالى عنه رضي الله عنهما Jabir was a sahabi of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم son of Abdullah. Abdullah was his father. He was also a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu wa sallam was a very close companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana yazuruhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit Jabir radiallahu wa sallam in his house, and Jabir in turn would go and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at his place. This was a very close connection and contact they had. When he came to Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi an al-Munkar, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala would leave no stone unturned. He was also amongst those Sahaba who narrated many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was also amongst those who gave fatwa, amongst the muftis of the Sahaba. There were selected number of them who would give fatwa even in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, then he was amongst those people who were the muftis of Medina Munawwara. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala's father, Abdullah, he had taken or accepted Islam and taken bay'at, pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had taken Jabir, was very, very young at the time. They pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At Aqaba. Aqaba was an area, a place, a valley where Sahaba came from Madina Munawwara. There were two occasions when this bayah took place. So the second time, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala was there with his father. So Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, from all those who were present there who pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya Rasulullah, you come over to Madina Munawwara and we promise you that we will assist you, we will take care of you, we will defend you, we will protect you, we will help you. And therefore they became known as the Ansar, the helpers. So from all those who were there, Jabir was the youngest from all of them. And in Madina Munawwara, he was the last of all of these people to pass away. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu's father Abdullah had participated in Badr and Uhud. In Uhud, he calls, the day before Uhud takes place, he calls his son Jabir. He says, Jabir, I'm going tomorrow to fight the enemy, and I have a strong belief and feeling that I am going to be amongst those who become shaheed. You have got 7 or 9 sisters according to the kitabs. That is my daughters I leave behind me. You are my only son. And I have high regards for you. فَاسْتَوْسِ بِهِنَّ خَيْرًا O Jabir, look after your sisters. Look after them. Support them, take care of them. And I have left behind debts. I want you to pay off my debts. It so happens that his father goes, participates in Uhud, and he fights, and he is among the very first few people to become shaheed in Uhud. His body is mutilated, his ears are cut off, nose cut off. After the battle, Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in go to identify their relatives who had become shaheed. Jabir radiallahu anhu, when he sees the condition of his father, he begins to cry. He says, Ja'altu abki. I began to cry. And every time I open the kafan from my father's face, and I saw his face, I began to cry even more. Sahaba ikram are behind me and they are stopping me. They say, don't cry, don't cry. You shouldn't be crying. He says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing there, but he didn't say one word. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reprimand me for crying. After some time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Jabir, مَا زَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تُذِلُّهُ بِأَجْنِحَتِهَا O Jabir, the angels have come down and they are shading your father. They are covering your father, they are giving him protection and shade. حَتَّى رُفِعَ Until his body was then lifted. So right till he was buried, the angels had come down on the demise of the father of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala Abdullah. Then Rasulullah ﷺ sees Jabir sitting one side, very, very sad. He says, Mali araka muhtamman, why is he crying so grieved? What's happening? He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my father has become shaheed. وَتَرَكَ دَيْنًا وَعِيَالًا He has left behind a lot of debts. And he has left behind a family. I've got 9 sisters to look after. I don't know how I'm going to see to their rights, fulfill their rights, and how I'm going to fulfill my father's debts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoles him and takes his mind away from his worries and problems and gives him solace and comfort. He says, Jabir, ألا أخبرك should I not tell you something? ما كلم الله أحدا إلا من وراء حجاب Whenever Allah spoke to any person, Allah spoke to the person from behind a curtain, from behind a veil. وإنه كلم أباك كفاحا But Jabir, when your father passed on, and when he was presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah removed that curtain, Allah spoke to him directly. This is the condition of your father. He is so honored in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah asked your father, O my servant, Salni u'tik. What is it? Ask me, I will give it to you. He says, Jabir, you know what your father asked Allah? He says, O my Allah, O my Rabb, I have seen the honor you have given to a shaheed. My desire is that you must send me back into this world, give me life. فَأُقْتَلَ ثَانِيًا I must be killed again and become shaheed once more. Allah says, Oh Abdullah, this is not possible because I have taken a pledge that once you leave this world, you will never be sent back again. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the ayat, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ Allah says, Don't deem those who have become shaheed and martyrs in the path of Allah to be dead. They are alive in the qabr. They are being sustained in the qabr. They are happy, they are rejoicing with what Allah has given them. Such honor, such dignity, such provisions, such fragrance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them and they are enjoying. And Allah does not destroy the reward of the good doers. It is mentioned after 40 years. 40 years later in the time of Muawiyah. Khulafai Rashidun passed on. When Muawiyah becomes the Amir, and then there was a stream that was flowing in Uhud, and just where these bodies were buried, and they had to remove these bodies from the graves, otherwise, if there was a flood, then these bodies will come out of the graves and will become difficult for the Sahaba. So they go and they dig up those graves. When they dig up the grave of Jabir's father, Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, as Jabir radiallahu ta'ala said, I saw the body of my father intact. Exactly how we had buried him, exactly like that his body was there. Another Sahabi who also became shaheed and who was wounded, he had his hand on one of the wounds. And as they moved the body, the hand moved away and fresh blood oozed out from his body. So Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala had also accepted Islam before Rasulullah made hijrat. Jabir radiallahu was a very young person, young Sahabi. After Uhud, so Badr and Uhud he did not participate, but after that all the other expeditions and all the other battles, he participated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was amongst those Sahaba who were given a very long life. He is known as Al-Mu'ammarun. Al-Mu'ammarun are those Sahaba who lived for 90, 100 years and more. He passed away at the age of 94 years. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, when he
we mentioned about his physical appearance. He was very, very handsome. He should don a white imamah. This is mentioned about Jabir radiallahu anhu, and he should always don a white imamah, and he had an asa, a stick, with him. His pants was always above his ankles, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Towards the latter part of his life, he became blind. He was unable to see. So he required a guide who would guide him and lead him to the masjid. So even in this condition, when he was blind, he used to have a string in his house leading him to the door, and there was a basket next to him of dates, some food stuff. So normally poor people and beggars would come, knock on the door, he'll take something from this basket, and he'll walk with this string right till the door, give the miskeen, give the poor person something, and come back to his place. Some sahaba were present there. They observed this, they said, Jabir, why are you exerting yourself? We are here, if any miskeen come, we'll see to them. He says, no. I've heard Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned in hadith, in which he says that Rasulullah ﷺ had given glad tidings or great blessings and virtues of that person who feeds the poor people. And amongst the virtues he had mentioned, that a person who looks after the poor and needy, and he feeds them, Allah will protect him from an evil death, from a bad death, a sudden death. Allah will give him a good mouth. So Jabir radiallahu anhu says, I wish to gain the sawab myself. So like this, he participated in all the battles, and there were great incidents in the life of Jabir radiallahu anhu and how he participated in all the battles. But in Ahzab or Khandaq, when the trench was dug, and we know the entire incident, Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu had advised Rasulullah SAW that let us dig a trench so that the enemy could not come and attack Madina Munawwara, and they did so. But for that duration of time, Sahaba Ikram and Rasulullah himself went down, and they were digging the trench. And there was a huge rock, and Rasulullah himself went and removed that rock. But while they were in this condition, Sahaba saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or they complained to him, that we are absolutely hungry, we've got no food to eat. And we've got a stone tied to our bellies. On that occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows them that he had two and one riwayat, thalathatu ahjar, three stones tied to his belly. And then he pitied the Sahaba. He felt sorry for them. And he made dua for them. Allahumma aghfir al-ansar wal-muhajira. Oh Allah, forgive the ansar, forgive the muhajirin. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. There is no real life except the life of the akhirah. There a person will live forever. There he'll get full reward and blessings. Ya Allah, this ansar, this muhajirin, they are making sacrifice. Ya Allah, you make it easy for them. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala had seen the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, extremely hungry. So he goes home, speaks to his wife. He says, you know, why don't we invite Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I can see he's in a very severe condition. He is absolutely hungry. He's had no food for so many days. Can't we just invite him? He says, yes, why don't we do so? So she begins to knead the dough and make the rotis. Whilst he goes, gets a goat, slaughters it. And now she is busy preparing this meal. She tells him, call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, invite him, maybe two or three others with him. So he goes, whispers in the ears of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my wife has told me, invite you and maybe two or three other sahaba with you. Nabi Kareem some asked him, how much food has been prepared? So he says, just a little bit, some roti, we got some meat, some goat was sacrificed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at the sahaba, and then he says, Ya Ahl al-Khandaq. Ya Ahl al-Khandaq means all those who are here at Khandaq. In other words, all the sahaba who are there. He says, Inna Jabiran qad sana'a lakum su'ran. Jabir has prepared some food for you people. Come, let's we go to Jabir's house. Jabir hears. He is instructed by his wife, call Rasulullah SAW and two or three sahaba only. Here Rasulullah SAW is calling all the sahaba. Hundreds of them. He runs home. He's panicking, frantic. We would do the same. And we worry, what to expect now? He's also worried, what his wife is going to say. And he says, oh, I'm finished today. I don't know what to do, what to say. I told Rasulullah what you said. He invited everybody. And of course, our wives also, they would have got crazy and shouted so much. And she says, did you tell Rasulullah how much food we prepared? He says, yes. He says, what we have to worry about? Relax. Really, I'm just giving simple English. Don't stress. Nothing for you to worry and panic about. He knows what he has done. Rasulullah instructs Jabir, you bring the rotis, make the sahaba sit down, don't remove the lid from the pot, and don't remove the pot from the furnace on which the pot was kept. And then he tells Jabir radiallahu anhu's wife, that call some other lady to help you to make few more rotis. Nabi Kareem then instructs sahaba, this is adab, go to a dawat, how we should go to the dawat. Doesn't mean we got free chows now, we all just go wild and make noise. And he says, sahaba, let's go politely inside. All of you don't rush. Don't crowd the whole area, it's a small house. Go in tens, groups. And you finish, you go out, the next group will come like that. Rasulullah ﷺ read some dua, he blew in the pot, he himself would open the pot, take some scoops out of food, give the sahaba, and he would break the bread himself and give to the sahaba. Jabir radiallahu anhu says that all the sahaba ate. Hundreds of them ate. He says, Allah's qasam, exactly how the food was first, before Rasulullah came there, that food remained exact like that. And he said, Rasulullah then told us to also eat, we also ate, and the food was still the same. This was the mu'ajiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Rasulullah s.a.w. passed on, there was a battle that took place, and Jabir radiallahu ta'ala participated in that battle. And this was in the time of, the Amir was Malik bin Abdullah al-Khathami radiallahu ta'ala. So Malik bin Abdullah, he goes past, he sees that Jabir radiallahu ta'ala is also with us. All the other sahaba mounted on the animals, on the donkeys or horses or camels. And he says, Jabir is walking with his animal. He says, Jabir, what's the matter? Haven't you got something Allah has provided for you? Why are you walking with your animal? So then Jabir radiallahu anhu tells him, he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, whosoever's feet become full of dust in the path of Allah, Allah makes the fire of Jahannam haram for to touch that person's body. Person who goes out in the path of Allah, and the sand and the dust that covers his body, and the fire of Jahannam becomes haram for that person. And the fire of Jahannam won't eat up that person's body. He'll be safe from the fire of Jahannam. So he said, I wish to walk for that reason. This Amir was a very intelligent person. So he goes ahead of the army. And from there he turns around. And again he shouts out to Jabir, Jabir, you've got a horse. Why don't you ride your horse? Jabir understood what's the maqsad of the Amir. So from there he shouts back. He says, oh Amir, I've heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi saying that whosoever strives in the path of Allah, the dust that touches his body, the fire of Jahannam becomes haram to eat and consume his body. It becomes haram on the fire of Jahannam to consume his body. When the remaining of the Sahaba and Tabi'een hear this, all of them jump off the animals because they want the same reward. You see, they did not, Sahaba and Tabi'een did not witness any such battle in their life with so many Sahaba walking on foot than riding the camels or horses. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala and his close connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he narrated many ahadith. 1,540 ahadith he narrated. So he had known many more than that. Amongst the ahadith he narrated, one very simple one, but there's a lot of lessons for us, and that is when we make salam. He comes to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knocks on the door, seeks permission to enter. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, who is it? He says, ana me. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to teach him. Say, me, who's me? Who's me, ana? As though Rasulullah disliked it. Then he called him Jab. He said, it's Jabir. So he said, come inside, Jabir. Oh, Jabir, when you go to some person's house, you make salam and you seek permission, it is important for you to tell the person who it is. Now you're just saying it's me. Who's me? I don't know who's me. He expected Rasulullah to know that it was him. But Rasulullah taught him etiquette of entering the house. So you and I also, when we go home, or we go visit somebody, we don't knock on the door, don't say it's me. That person may be busy. Now, a lot of times we have a bad habit sometimes. Allah forgive us, we do it ourselves. We've got a close contact with some friend, we've got a very good relationship. Now if we phone him, now he is pareshan, he says, who's it? He said, now you don't know, take a guess. Now he has to guess, he's got no time, we don't know, what's his condition? Maybe he's driving. And if he's a doctor, he's seeing a patient. If he's a maulana, he's busy consulting somebody. Or he's busy preparing some talk. Or you don't know what's his condition, he's got some guests in front of him. Now you want to play games with him. This is not right in Sharia. You should tell him who it is. Otherwise the poor person will have tashwish and he won't know who's actually talking to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one occasion makes istighfar on behalf of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala 25 times. 25 times he says, O Jabir, yaghfirullahu lak, yaghfirullahu lak, yaghfirullahu lak. 25 times Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua-i maghfirat for Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. How fortunate he was. It wasn't because something wrong he did. This is the love Rasulullah had for him. Once his neighbor comes back from some journey, he'd gone to some place. Jabir radiallahu anhu goes to visit him, makes salam to him. And he begins to talk to Jabir. And then he tells Jabir about the condition of the people, that now they have disunited and all of them are fighting over dunya. All of them are fighting over dunya. This created such an effect on Jabir radiallahu ta'ala that he began to cry profusely. Jabir radiallahu anhu cried very bitterly. And then he mentions, he said, I heard Rasulullah saying, إِنَّ النَّاسَ دَخَلُوا فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا وَسَيَخْرُجُونَ مِنْهُ أَفْوَاجًا. People will enter into Islam in droves, in large numbers. But they'll come out of Islam also in large numbers. So sometimes when a person is hankering after the dunya, or we fight and quarrel over dunya and the material things of this world, we don't realize what an effect it has on us. Sometimes a person can even lose his iman and come out of the fold of Islam. May Allah Ta'ala save us. As the Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, when he came to his quest for knowledge, imagine he was a sahabi, 1540 plus minus ahadith he narrated. He knew many more ahadith. He was also amongst the muftis of the sahaba. He lived so closely to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a young sahabi, very intelligent, very bright, watching every movement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, visiting him all the time. Nabi sallallahu visiting Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, seeking knowledge all the time. He says when he used to hear about a certain sahabi who knew any hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Jabir would travel far just to get that knowledge of that particular hadith from that sahabi. There's an incident here, he says, that he hears of one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wants to verify it. He purchases a camel. Then he undertakes his journey. He goes to Sham, to Syria. From Medina he leaves. There was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah bin Unais radiallahu ta'ala. Jabir goes there. Abdullah bin Unais is busy or he's sleeping. It is not disturbing. He sits there by the door. And then after some time the doorkeeper asks, who are you? He says, so just tell your owner of the house, your boss, that Jabir is by the door. That's all. When Abdullah bin Unais comes, he says, Jabir bin Abdullah? He says, yes, it's me. Immediately embraces him. He says that, why didn't you wake me up? Why didn't you call for me? He said, no, I just came to hear a hadith of Rasulullah to verify. Have you heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I feared that perhaps I may die without hearing and verifying this hadith from you, or you may leave this world before I can hear it from you. And then he asked him to narrate the hadith. He narrates the hadith, it's a long hadith. Immediately after that, salamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, and he leaves, comes back to Madinah Munawwara. So he undertakes such a tedious journey just to learn and to verify the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. There's so many other important things of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. But as we go along, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, as mentioned, they were the shining stars for us. The idea of the maqsad here is for us to go back and read about Sahaba ikram. The more we read about them, the love of Sahaba will come into our hearts. Love of Sahaba will come, love of Rasulullah will come. We will see how the Nabiya Kareem conducted himself with them, how he dealt with Sahaba, how they behaved, what akhlaq they had. If they made any mistakes, we can learn from the errors Sahaba made. What tawbah, istighfar they made when they made minor slips. How they dealt with people, how they spread Islam, the love they had for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Continuing the tafsir of Surah Yusuf and the lesson we learn, as I mentioned, we are not giving the tafsir because the tafsir will take a very, very long time to mention each word and look at the grammar of each word and the different tafasir, what the ulama and scholars have written. The story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, you all have some knowledge of the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, but there are so many incidents, and therefore Allah has mentioned it to be ahsan al-qasas. And as I mentioned last week also, we discussed al-hasad, jealousy, and what a terrible malady this is, and the remedy for this malady. And just to summarize that again, we should make dua for the person who we are jealous of. Sincere dua. Imagine you making dua to Allah, that Allah must make him more prosperous than you. Allah must give him good health, and Allah must give him wealth, and Allah must give him knowledge, and Allah must give him so much of dunya, and Allah must give him akhirat. So by doing that, slowly the jealousy will now disappear. Then you must give him gifts, invite him to your house for a meal. You must go and ask him for du'as and make salam. And you must ponder over the ni'mas Allah has given you and hasn't given him. So there's no need for you to be jealous over somebody when you yourself have got so many bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, we have to realize that all this is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is His taqdeer, His wish. Who He wishes to give whatever, that is His right. And to complain or to be jealous of somebody is actually to complain against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. So we had mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, now his brothers had taken him and they threw him into the well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, a time will come when you will inform your brothers of what they did. And they would not know at that time when they will meet you that you are really Yusuf who they are talking to. But the day will come. So Allah ta'ala consoles Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in this well. These brothers come back. وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءَ يَبَكُونَ. They come back at night now. Scholars say, why they come back at night? Perhaps during the day everything is bright. The father will make out from their faces immediately that they are lying. Now when it's dark, the father can't see their face properly also. So it is but more easier for them now to come and give a fabricated lie to their father about what they did, or what happened to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And they come crying to really make it a genuine story that, see, we are feeling so sorry about what happened and we are sympathized over the loss of Yusuf. When Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam heard them crying, immediately became worried. This insan, although he was a Nabi of Allah, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam also, they are human beings. We expect the Nabi of Allah not to cry. When Ibrahim radiallahu anhu passed on, Nabi Kareem some cried. Sahaba asked, Ma hadha al-bukha ya Rasulullah? Why are you crying? In other words, you should be just accept it that he's gone. You shouldn't be shedding any tears. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Sahaba, he taught the entire ummah, that this crying is out of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has placed rahmat in my heart. So I'm a human being, it is natural that I will shed tears on the loss of somebody very close to me. Like that, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, when he heard his sons crying, then he knew something is wrong, so he became worried and anxious. And already he asked them, Malakum ya bunay, oh my children, what's wrong? Oh ya bani, what's happened? Where's Yusuf? Immediately, where's Yusuf? قالوا يا أبانا إنا ذهبنا نستبق وتركنا يوسف عند متاعنا فأكله ذئب. He said, we went running races, oh my father, we kept Yusuf by our goods, look after our goods. While we were gone so far away, we were racing one another, and we didn't realize a wolf would come, and the wolf came and ate him. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. The same excuse they gave to Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, what he had used as an excuse to them when he was reluctant to send Yusuf alayhi salatu with them. He says, I fear that a wolf will come and eat him. He didn't really fear that. He actually feared that they will kill him. But this was the shafqat he had on his sons. And he didn't want them to point a finger at him and say, see, you're already thinking bad of us. So he didn't say, I fear you all will kill him. He said, I fear a wolf will come and eat him up. So they used the same excuse. They said, oh, my father, a wolf came and ate him up. And before they could say anything else, before they could give any more explanation, they said, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. You're not going to believe us, although we're speaking the truth. When a person is a liar, besides giving his excuses, he will tell the other person, see, I know you're not going to believe me. And I'm speaking the truth, but I know you're not going to believe me. So ulama have written, when a person is lying, like Urdu they say, ulta chor kotwal kudante. Person is the thief, he's the rogue. Now he's caught up. What he does, he blames the police. He makes the police the criminal. And makes him feel guilty to absolve himself. So he says, or they say, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. We are speaking the truth. But you're not going to believe us. And now they show us a proof. وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيسِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. Beautiful ayats, full of eloquence. They brought forward the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam with fake blood, with false blood. They had slaughtered some goat, some animal, and they smeared the blood of that animal on the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And now they bring that as a proof that see a wolf at him. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was the Nabi of Allah. What did he say? Ma ahlama hadha dhi'b. Oh, ho, ho, ho. This wolf you had seemed to be a very gentle wolf. Eh? Very soft natured. Pounces on my son Yusuf. Kills my son without tearing his shirt. This is where they got caught. Any case, he knew they were lying. What does he say? بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. You have made up a story, you have fabricated something. Your nafs has made up a story. You have fabricated a lie. The word sawwalat means to decorate something. You have decorated, you have fabricated something. You are not speaking the truth, you are all liars. What I will do? Immediately, he focuses his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not beat them up. Does not say anything after that. He says, for sabrun jameel. My condition will be that I will have genuine, true, good patience over Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. I won't just make a normal sabr. But this sabr that I will make will be a sabr full of jamal in it, jameel. In other words, this sabr that I will make will be praiseworthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will praise this sabr also. And we see Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, what sabr he made. His Yusuf, who was so handsome and he loved him so much, is taken away whilst he's still a young child. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. And then he says, وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Allah's help will be sought on whatever you are describing and saying. In other words, I turn my attention to Allah, I hand over my affairs to Allah, my complaint is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there can be no helper but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the only person who can sincerely help me and genuinely help me. Whatever you say now, I just have to accept, but remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist me. Any case, وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدُهُمْ فَأَدْلَى دَلْوَةٌ. The story goes as a caravan then comes, and they had lost the road. Ibn Kathir Rahmatullah says, أَخْطَأُوا وَتَرِيق. They lost the road, and they land up right in this wilderness. So they send somebody to go find some water, otherwise we'll die of thirst. And this man comes and he throws the bucket in. As the bucket is coming down, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting on a wall inside this well. And he sees the rope coming down in the bucket, so he jumps into this bucket. And he holds onto this rope. And as this man is pulling, when the bucket comes up, he says, Ya Bushra, Hada Ghulam. He's amazed. Oh, glad tidings. This is a young boy. وَأَسَرُّهُ بِضَاعَةٍ. Various tafsir has been mentioned here now. Few of his friends who come there, they conceal Yusuf alayhi salatu salam because they were afraid that the rest of the caravan may see him. And then when they have to sell him, they have to share the money that they will gain, the profit they will gain upon selling him amongst all of them, so each one won't get much then. Or they were afraid that perhaps he has escaped from his master, he's a slave. And therefore his master might come now and search for him, and then we have to hand him over, so we lost. So they concealed him, وَأَسَرُّهُ بِضَاعَةٍ. Concealed him as a merchandise, some goods. Allahu عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says, and Allah knows very well whatever you do. Allah knew the action of the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. Allah knew even the action of these people who have taken Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. They are concealing, they are hiding him. They take him to Egypt. It is a long story. Eventually they sell him, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ. They are so worried that the master must not come and look for them. So they sell him for a few pennies. بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. بَخْسٍ means here, not making much profit. Allah clarifies this, دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ. For a few cents, few pennies. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. They were amongst those who were not interested in him. They didn't show much interest. If they really knew the value of Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, they would never have sold him. If they knew who Yusuf alayhi salatu salam was, they would never have sold him in the market and just for a few. They thought the master is going to come for him. Before he comes, let us get rid of him. And whatever we get, Allah save us. Persons get some stolen goods and then he sells it in the streets. He sells it for next to nothing. Next to nothing. And we go and purchase those things, knowing that impossible to get that good at that price. How can that person be selling it next to nothing? We know the real value of this, and then we want to go buy that thing. Whereas this person has stolen these goods. They've hijacked some containers. He managed to get some of these goods. Now he's interested in just buying a loaf of bread and some milk and some bare necessities, so he sells it for next to nothing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. We can't make excuses, indulge in all his activities, then suddenly when the whistle is blown and you say, oh, we were innocent, we didn't know what's happening. May Allah ta'ala protect us, may Allah make our hifazat. Any case, they wanted to get rid of him, they sold him. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ. The minister of finance, the Aziz, who was the person in charge of the treasures of Egypt, he purchased Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. He had seen the face of Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with great insight. He had basirat. And he purchased Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. And he tells his wife, honor his stay. Look after him. Be hospitable. Care for him. Be kind to him. Be courteous. Perhaps he is going to benefit us one day. Ulama have written that there were three people who Allah Ta'ala had blessed with great basirat. One was this Aziz of Misr, the minister of Egypt, who upon seeing Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, he realized his value and therefore purchased him. The other person was the daughter of Shu'ayb alayhi salatu salam. Very long story, inshallah we'll do that one day. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. When Musa alayhi salatu salam leaves Egypt and Firaun is after him and he comes and he takes shade under a tree and he sees in the distance that there are some men, they are taking their animals to drink water from the well. But there are two young girls who are standing one side with their flock and they are not going until all these men go away, then they are going or they are waiting for these men to finish off. He goes to them and says, why are you waiting there? He said, no, we cannot go there. These are all men, they are strong and we don't have the strength. And so he goes up, takes a flock of sheep, gets the water for them, feeds the sheep and even gives them water, and he sends them away. They go back home to Shu'ayb alayhi salatu salam. Their father was very old, and he says, how come you came so early today? And then they explain that today when we went there, there was a young man and he helped us. So one of the daughters then tells, the younger daughter tells Shuaib alayhi salam, according to tafsir, that, oh my father, ya abadi sa'jirhu, why don't you employ him? Inna khayra man ista'jarta al-qawiyul amin. This person who you will employ to help us every day to get the water, he is qawi, he is very strong. Father asked him, how you all know he's strong? He said he lifted the lid of the well with his own hands, whereas normally it takes so many men collectively to lift the lid of the well. He did it himself. And Amin is very trustworthy. He did not look at us, did not talk to us directly. He was bashful. So then, Shuaib alayhi salam sends his daughter to go call him. And finally, when Musa alayhi salam comes, the whole incident that finally he gets married to this daughter of Shuaib alayhi salam. So, Shuaib alayhi salam's daughter had this keen sightedness, this basirat, that she realized Musa alayhi salam's maqam and his value. And the third person they mention is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu. When he appointed Umar radiallahu as the next Khalifa, Allah had blessed him with that far-sightedness, knowing the maqam of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So he said, Umar will become the next Khalifa. It's a long story in Sirat. Nevertheless, now this Aziz of Misr, he tells his wife, you must honor Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. Asa ay yanfa'na. Perhaps he will benefit us. Oh, natakhidha walada, we've got no children. And he's a young boy, we'll adopt him. Allah says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Remember, he was in the well. They were going to destroy him, eliminate him, remove him from this world. Allah says, we established him in this world. We gave him place in Egypt now. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And so that we may teach him the interpretation of dreams. Now we will see Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, the knowledge he's given of dreams, the knowledge he's given of Shariat, and how he interprets dreams for so many people. Allahu ghalibun ala amrihi, walakin akthar an-nas la ya'lamun. Allah is most powerful over all his affairs. Whatever Allah decides, that takes place. No matter who can oppose the plan of Allah, Allah always succeeds. Mankind will fail. Walakin akthar an-nas la ya'lamun. But most of mankind don't realize this. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. When Yusuf alayhi salatu salam reaches full manhood, Allah says, then we blessed him with hikmat. We blessed him with knowledge. We gave him faqahat in deen. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. All those who do good, Allah blesses them with knowledge. Allah blesses them with hikmat. Then when they will speak hikmat. They will be a means of guidance to people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues the story, and he lives in this minister's house. He is working for them, Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, seeing to their needs, etc. But the wife of the minister, Zulaykha, she was caught in the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam went on Mi'raj when he saw Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam himself said that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was given half of beauty. Allah created beauty. Half of the beauty was given to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So can you imagine how handsome he was? So now she is caught. She becomes very attracted. So now she makes a plan. She is trying to seduce him, making some small movements, nothing happening. So one day she gets Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in a corner. She locks all the doors. Mufassirin see there were 7 doors to the chamber. Each door she had locked. Yusuf alayhi salam has no key. She gets him right in the last room now. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. She, that is Zulaykha, tries to seduce Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, who was in her home, over himself. She's using very, very alluring words. She describes his hair, his face. She is trying desperately to entice him. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She locked all the doors. What does she say? وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. Come quickly now. Fulfill my shahwat and my desires. Nobody here. It's just you and I all alone. Doors are all closed. There's no person here. What does Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam do? Allah gives the entire ummah a sabak. Because many people, Allah save us, can get caught into such a predicament. person is absolutely innocent. And suddenly, he becomes enticed and seduced. Maybe the secretary in his office, nobody that day, there's no patient, or there's no clients, or there's no workers, or there's nobody there. Whatever profession, whether he's a doctor, lawyer, teacher, whether he's an alim, whether he's in a ustad of a madrasa, he can be a principal of a school, staff all gone, and only this secretary is there. Initially he has got no feelings towards her, but then she begins. And as you see, إِنَّ كَيْدَ كُنَّ عَظِيمٌ, a woman's ploy and plan is very, very heavy, very great, not easy to come out of her clutches. النِّسَاءُ حَبَائِلُ الشَّيْطَانِ, Rasulullah says that they are the snares of shaitan to try and entice a man. So she will use alluring words, and she will try to reveal parts of her body. Here Zulaikha is saying, come quickly, fulfill my desires. What does Yusuf alayhi salam do? And this is a lesson for all of us. Qala ma'ad Allah. I seek my Allah's refuge. I seek my Allah's protection. And he moves away from her. And what does he do? He reminds her, innahu rabbi ahsana mathwai. Rabbi here, according to most mufassirin, here refers to his master, the one who made his tarbiyah, the one who is looking after him, the aziz of Misr. He says, he has been kind to me. He has cared for me. How can I become a zalim and oppress his rights? You are his wife. How can I be disloyal to him? How can I cheat? إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ, those who oppress us can never be successful. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِي. Now, the word hammun in Arabic, scholars go in great details for us to understand simply. She had made up her mind. She was determined. She had made this genuine, serious resolution, or she had resolved. She was determined, 110%. She wanted Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to commit zina with her. And she was ready to commit that zina. وَهَمَّ بِهَا يُوسُفَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ, he was a Nabi of Allah, ma'soom, remember this. He had no inclination towards her, or he made no intentions towards her. He was not one but determined to commit zina, ma'adha Allah. Yes, a normal insan, a human being, if it is Roza, Ramadan, everybody is fasting, you go to a shopping mall or you go to a supermarket, impossible you go through the juice or the aisle where all the juice and all the water and all the cool drinks are there and you don't desire that. Any person will desire it. You think, I'll buy this so iftar time I can have it. Your mouth begins to water. You look at the chocolate, that's why a person is fasting, mustn't go shopping. He fill all those trolleys up. Iftar time, how much you going to eat? So in any case, that doesn't break your fast. Doesn't nullify your fast. That's, you're a human being. Allah has created these things in your heart. But Allah has taken the special care and protection for Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, that they don't go one bit, one step towards any evil. Wahamma biha means those normal human being, those thoughts which are not voluntary, those that run fresh through a person's mind and comes, that this is a woman and she's asking me to come towards her. Those tabi, natural thoughts came through his mind, but immediately he retracts. He runs away from her. He runs away from her. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. Allah says, لَوْلَا أَرْرَآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ, had it not been for a proof of his Rabb that he had seen, then he could have moved towards her. But he did not move towards her because Allah showed Yusuf alayhi salam in that very chamber some proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which the Quran and Majeed is silent about. Now you can open tafasir, you'll find many things have been mentioned. Many things have been mentioned, but many mufassirin have said that the most ahwat, and to be cautious, because we can't pinpoint, Quran has not pinpointed any particular proof. Here some person has mentioned, he thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the face of Yaqub alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam came, the image of Yaqub alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him, various other things have been mentioned. But the best explanation is Allah showed him some proof, that reminded him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and immediately he plucked up all his himmat and courage, he ran away from her. Now he knew the doors are all shut, it's all closed, they're all locked. But whatever was within his power and control, that's what he did. One of our Akabirin, Mashayikh, I think Mahusin Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali, was one of our great Buzugani Deen, he was imprisoned. Now every Friday, he would take a ghusl in the prison, wear his kurta, wear his clothes, and he would go to the gate where it was locked. Till day he would go, Ya Allah, ye meri bas ki baat hai. This is what I can do. Aage aapka kaam hai. Beyond this is beyond my control. I can't go beyond that. But this much I can do. So whatever is within our control, he was able to run at least till the door. That's what he did. And when a person does that, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ Whoever fears Allah, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا Allah will make openings for him. No matter what difficulty he may be suffering, Allah will open. And exactly like that, he goes there, the lock opens on its own, falls onto the floor, the door is open, he runs through all the doors, and she is running behind him, and she pulls onto his shirt, his kurta from the back. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ أَسُّوءُ Thus we move evil away from him. Scholars say that means he was not involved in the evil. Evil was out of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Very, very fine point, very brilliant point this is, to show that he was absolutely innocent. So evil was not in him that we have taken out of Yusuf. He was ma'asum. Evil was still surrounding him. Allah says, we remove that evil away from him. كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ And evil and immorality or indecency. إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ This is how, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ Allah says, verily Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was from our chosen servants. مُخْلَص with a fatha on the lam. Allah chose him. And in some qiraats, مُخْلِصِين from our very sincere servants. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the person, Allah chooses, Allah protects, then that person is saved. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ Both of them run now. Yusuf alayhi salam is in front. Zulikha is behind. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابَ وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيسَهُ مِنْ دُبُرْ And she pulls and she tears his shirt from the back. What happens when they come to the last door? وَأَلْفَ يَا سَيِّدَ هَالَ الْبَابِ Now they both find her husband, his master, standing by the door. He's looking at them. What has happened? Now she's caught. Immediately she puts the whole blame on Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. What did she say? قالت ما جزاء من أراد بأهلك سوءا إلا أن يسجن أو عذاب أليم Oh my beloved husband, what's the punishment of that person who has evil intentions with your wife? He's got evil intentions. See what he's doing to me. Shouldn't he be imprisoned? Or shouldn't he be given a beating and a lashing? Yusuf alayhi salam sees that now Tuhmat is placed upon him. What must he do? Make sabar and keep quiet? No. A tuhmat of this nature. This is a tuhmat, an allegation. What if somebody hurts you, harms you, insults you, can keep quiet, make sabar, no problem. That's what you should be doing. But here an allegation, and especially an allegation of zina is casted upon you. Sharia tells you, now you don't show tawazu. Don't show how pious you are and what humility you got and keep quiet here. Yes. Now you got to speak up. So immediately Yusuf alayhi salam says, هِيَ رَاوَدَتْنِي عَنْ نَفْسِي She tried to seduce me over myself. This is what he is saying. Now who is speaking the truth? She is saying that he tried to entice her and he wanted to make zina with her. He is saying he is innocent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is his plan. This is how he protects a person. Unseen sources, unseen help. See Allah, unseen madad. From where it came, you don't know. A person was in the jungle and suddenly somebody comes now to loot him, about to kill him. Okay, two rakat namaz, just give me the chance. He is still supplicating to Allah and he called out to Allah. The angel from one of the heavens, from the fourth heaven, comes down to assist him, kills that other person. And this person sees what has happened. And that angel disappears. Allah's help comes, unseen sources. Because we don't experience this thing, so we don't believe in it. But that person who has a genuine connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has taqwa, unseen madad comes. So what happens? وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا There was a witness from her family. Mufassirin say there was a little baby in the cradle. little baby who was unable to speak. Newborn baby, maybe a few months, can't speak. Allah gave this baby the power of speaking, the ability to speak. In hadith, there are many children and infants who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the ability to speak. Among them, there was one person. His name was Juraj. Or there was an abid worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his chamber. And for some reason, people were jealous of him or whatever. So they tried, they paid a loose woman, a prostitute, some money. And they said, you must make tuhmat on him. And you must say that he made zina, there's a child, and I'm pregnant, there's a child, and this is his child. So they called him. And he said, this woman said that you made zina with her. And he said, no, I didn't make zina. So they broke his whole chamber down, his ibadat khana. He turns to the child, and then he addresses the child who was a newborn baby. And he says, speak the truth and say, who is your father? So he said, that certain shepherd, he is my father. And he said, that you are absolutely innocent. Like this, Isa alayhi salatu salam, Allah talks about in the Quran, Maryam alayhi salatu salam, she gave birth to Isa alayhi salatu salam. Now people started making tuhmat, how is it possible you give birth to this child? You are not married? That means you are unchaste woman, ma'adallah. Allah ta'ala made Isa alayhi salam, qala inni abdullah. I am the servant of Allah. He spoke whilst he was a little baby. So like that, there was this baby in this cradle, according to some mufassireen, that this baby then spoke, وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدُ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. And then he tells the Aziz of Misr, check his kurta. Is it torn from the back or the front? If it's torn from the back, that means she was chasing him, and she was catching him from behind. She's a liar, he's innocent. If it's caught from the front, that means she was trying to push herself away, he was actually trying to make zina with her, then he is lying and she is innocent. When they saw his kurta, it was torn from the back. From this, the Aziz of Misr realized that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was innocent and his wife, she was guilty. So now what does he do? He is a prominent person. What does he do? Oh, Yusuf, arid an hadha, just forget about it. Just ignore it. Keep quiet about it. Remain silent, don't tell anybody about it. And tells his wife, وَاسْتَغْفِرِي لِي ذَنْبِكِ. You make tawbah and istighfar. That's more important now. So he warns her and he tells her, you make istighfar. But you see, he didn't have that type of himmat to reprimand her. And she was already doing such wrong things under his nose. So he didn't have that himmat. He was overpowered by his wife. Nevertheless, he tells her to make istighfar. إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. You are from the wrongdoers. Inshallah, next week we'll continue. If Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. What happens after this? May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.